Stuff Just Read It podcast.
Marcus Smart is so good. Aiden Brown. Got it. Shot three.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit podcast presented by CelticsLife.com. My name is Ben Vallis. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. We've got a few things to get to today. Kemba Walker is back on the court. Plus, James Harden is now in the Eastern Conference and, unfortunately, the Atlantic Division. Plus, we'll get to some Reddit recap stuff as well towards the end. Joining me, as always, LaBird33. How are you doing after that beatdown by the Knicks today, my friend?
I mean, that was pretty bad, right? Who's listening to this podcast right now? There's some serious diehards, I guess, if they're listening to a podcast after a 30-point blowout. But yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. I got up at 5 a.m. for that one. Did not feel like I was rewarded for my fandom at that point. And the day has just been pretty dreary since then. It's not really a great way to start your day. At least I understand for you Americans, it was kind of on in the middle of the day. And hopefully you could find yourself something to do to distract yourself from that beatdown. But
I was impressed by that, by the way. I was impressed that you actually woke up at 5 a.m. to watch the game. I'm like, you know, you could just watch it on delay. We're not recording this podcast till hours later. And at 5 a.m., you actually woke up before I did. I actually woke up around 10:20 and missed the first part of the game because apparently it's on NBA TV and they black it out on League Pass, which sucks. But yeah
well, like I said to you off air, like because it was on before my kid woke up, it's like kind of a rare opportunity to sit down and watch the game uninterrupted. My wife's asleep, my baby's asleep, it's all good. So bring on the 5 a.m. games. I'm up for it. But we'd love the Celtics to put up a better performance. And I mean, we're not going to talk about the game really in great detail. I don't think anyone wants to listen to an hour or so of just an ass beating by, you know, one of the league's worst franchises, let's be honest. But we should talk about Kemba Walker, who did return to the court today, played 19 minutes and 37 seconds, shot 3 for 13 with 5 turnovers. But he did have 3 steals, and he looked pretty sprightly. And LaBird, I know that you have been on the optimistic side in terms of what we can expect from Kemba when he does return. So how are you feeling after this 19 minutes and 37 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, I feel fine. He, you know, he didn't say he had any pain. He keeps saying he's not feeling any pain. That's the big thing. And, you know, you have to assume that he's got some rust he's got to work off of. In general, this whole game was just like, whatever. I mean, it's these kind of games happen. I think we're adjusting to both Tatum being out. I think we snuck by on the Orlando game to a certain extent. And then we're adjusting to Kemba coming back, which has adjusted some things on our rotation with like Pritchard getting 14 minutes or 17 minutes in this game. And, you know, there were some certain things that kind of we had to adjust to. Just the game in the beginning, just everything went poorly. But, you know, Kemba's cold, not a big deal. It's just good to see him back out there. I'm sure those shots will eventually start going down.
Yeah, I mean, he did look very sprightly and fast and bouncy, I think is the term that I saw thrown around a lot. He looked very, very bouncy, and he was able to get to his spots quite easily. I think I'd have to go back and watch the game tape from the playoffs, but he did look fresher than that. And, you know, he was coming into the bubble after quite a significant break as well. So they are sort of comparable situations. And clearly this stem cell therapy that's hopefully added some padding back to his knee there is working. But look, it's only one game, but it's the biggest Kemba sample size we've had in quite some time. So we're here to overreact to it. I saw someone post on Celtics Reddit. I should have copied this post, but I didn't, which is poor form for the Celtics Reddit podcast. But it was a comment on whether or not Kemba's return would inhibit Jaylen Brown's sort of uprising, so to speak. Do you think there's anything to that at all?
No, I hadn't seen that comment, but no, I wouldn't say so. I think that Tatum and Brown are both really going to be locked into those number one and number two options on our team. And I think Kemba's going to slot in as our third option. You know, like tonight was interesting because we're missing Tatum. And so what ends up happening is you have, Kemba and Smart went a combined 7 for 28 or something. So they were kind of filling up the slack for Tatum not being in there. But in normal games, I'm going to expect that Tatum's going to be averaging 20 plus shots. Brown's going to be averaging 20 plus shots. And I would think that Kemba's actually going to take maybe, you know, 15 or something in that range. I don't think it's really going to slow Brown too much. I mean, they are, you know, Kemba is traditionally kind of seen as like a ball dominant player who needs the ball to succeed. And I want to see the ball in Tatum and Brown's hands and Kemba kind of playing off of him a bit. So it was hard to get, you know, a real look at that at this point because Kemba's rusty and we're missing Tatum, of course. But I think in the long run, I don't think there's really anything that's going to slow the progression of Tatum and Brown at this point. Those are our two guys. It's really on Kemba to adjust. And based on his comments, at least from what I'm hearing in him talking in interviews, he seems to recognize those guys are superstars on this team. And, he has to adjust to it.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying 100%. And it's interesting because I think we've touched on this before, but now more than ever since Kemba's arrival, the roles on the team are now more defined. In terms of Tatum and Brown being a clear cut above Walker, and obviously there's no Hayward to deal with. It's going to be really interesting to see how he does adjust to that. And like you said, he's clearly open to it, but we just haven't seen those three guys on the court together yet. A user on the post-game thread, I Stand When I Pee, wrote, I saw a weird amount of takes in the game thread that said he looked slow, Kemba looked slow, and I just thought that was the furthest thing from the truth. He looked like normal Kemba with early season rust competing against guys without that rust. He also probably would have had a better stat line if a couple of passes he made to guys' hands didn't get dropped and result in turnovers. And that was one thing I think really stood out there is his penetration was awesome. And I think even Pritchard hasn't shown us that level of elite penetration and ability to get in the paint so far this season. But yeah, those passes were just not sticking. So yeah, I think I Stand When I Pee is probably right there. The stats would have been a little bit more forgiving had guys like Grant Williams and Tristan Thompson actually caught the fucking ball, disappointingly.
Yeah, I'm going to also assume that I Stand When I Pee as a female, just to make it funnier, because it makes a lot more sense that way.
Nothing wrong with sitting down, whatever you're comfortable with. It's all good. On the Knicks loss, though, user Hail Kyrie wrote, a lot of people here overreact to shit. It's a regular season NBA game, and we have rarely lost lately. Games like this happen. Calm down. Stop being a reactionary idiot. Lybert, like I've gotten to know you better. Like we're in contact with each other pretty much every day about the Celtics and the podcast. And I'm starting to get to know you better as sort of as a person. And in the past, when we've had disappointing outcomes with the Celtics, you kind of go offline a little bit. And I sort of take that to think, okay, like, you know, he's upset about what happened with the Celtics. Did you have that today? I was kind of busy. I didn't have a chance to really reach out to you, but did you have a similar reaction to today's loss, or did you just kind of brush it off like this guy did?
Not really. I mean, honestly, it just seems like, well, there's a part of this we haven't really talked about yet, and maybe we can get into it, which is like the whole conversation about plus minus differential and like what that shows about these guys. Because that was one of my takes, was just like, so, I mean, if you look at the people been writing about this now for 2 years, our team is significantly better. I mean, the short version is our team is significantly better when Tatum's on the court. So, you know, if you look at last season, I think we were, when he's on the court per 100 possessions, we were plus 10.3 points. And when he was off, we were like negative 1 points. And it carried off into the playoffs as well, and it's carried into the early part of the season. Against Orlando, it didn't seem to make a difference. We kicked crap out of that team. Of course, Orlando right now is dealing with all sorts of stuff. I mean, they have been, you know, more or less blown out 5 games in a row since Fultz went down with the injury. And not that Fultz is an amazing player, but he seemed to have made a big difference there. They're also, you know, lacking Fournier. So, I mean, we beat the crap out of Orlando. Everyone looked great. The next game, Tatum's not out there, and this is kind of what you would expect to a certain extent of Tatum missing a whole game, which is very, really rare, which is that the team didn't play well. I mean, just like we have 2 years of data now that suggests that when he doesn't play, we're going to get outscored. Of course, we got outscored by a pretty significant amount today. But I mean, that was kind of my main takeaway is, listen, assuming Tatum comes back and he's 100% after this COVID thing, he'll be out there. Not really worried about his getting blown out in a game he misses, because I'm kind of accepting at this point, maybe more so than a lot of fans, that he's our franchise player. He's the superstar of this team. He's the, you know, the straw that stirs the drink. Everyone else plays off of what Tatum does. He's the one that commands the most defensive attention. And when he's not out there, shit's going to be a little awkward. So yeah. I don't really care too much about us getting blown out. And then there's all the other things with Kemba only playing 20 minutes, him being rusty, the team adjusting to that. So, you know, I mean, I didn't really care too much about it. If I went offline, it's probably because I was just watching movies or something and just kind of taking my mind off
glad,
of it.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. It's a much better outcome. Yeah, it's interesting what you say. And like those numbers clearly don't lie. But like for me, and I think a lot of people feel this way, my expectation of the team is without without Tatum, you've got Kemba on the court, albeit in limited minutes and first game back after a long time. You've got Jaylen, you've got Marcus Smart, you've got almost a full big rotation with the exception of Time Lord. My expectation would be that that team could still go out and beat a team like the Knicks, which is what I think made today so disappointing. And I agree. Obviously, Tatum is our best player. We have him on the court. We can expect to succeed a lot more. But I was disappointed in the team today. I thought they'd get it done. And I thought, regardless of Tatum's presence or absence, they just came out and played like shit. And that's why we're not talking about the game too much, really, as a whole, because they just didn't have it. And the Knicks beat us to every loose ball. They won every 50-50 battle. They just played harder. You know, I know these are all cliches, but they met all of those cliches and they won as a result. So yes, I agree on the Tatum side of things, but I don't necessarily think that, like, if Tatum was there today and they still played like that with such little fire and vigor, I think that they still would have lost today.
So yeah, I was having a conversation back and forth on Reddit with a couple users. One was Keevesnick, K-E-E-V-S-N-I-C-K, and the other one was Jocka92. And they were both saying, you know, it wouldn't have mattered if Tatum was out there. We still would have been blown out. And my joke was that, you know, now you're playing with a space-time continuum. I mean, we don't know what would happen. If you put Tatum out there, it's like the butterfly effect. The whole game would have been completely different, you know. I heard Scal at one point in the game talking about the lack of spacing, and that's like a really simple thing that you can look at as an example of how things would have been different when Tatum out there. Tatum commands defensive attention. If he's out there, then everything else is open for other players. It just opens it up for everyone. So yeah, I mean, that's not something that, like, I think this whole game would have been completely different with Tatum out there. And a couple other things I just want to really quickly bring up about the plus minus stuff. Take it with a grain of salt, because it really depends on who they're sharing the court with. But I mean, looking at, this is something I've seen people bring up as well. If you look at, like, last season, surprisingly, Kemba and Jaylen both had a negative plus minus differential last season, which is kind of weird. I mean, you wouldn't expect that. They were two of our obvious best players, but it, at least based on plus minus, we were somehow better with them off the court, which doesn't make any damn sense. The second on the team was actually probably Gordon Hayward. I think he was plus four or something per 100 possessions, and we're missing Hayward as well in this game. So, and then you can look at, I think you had a thing in our run sheet where you're mentioning, you can look at, a Reddit user brought this up. There's all sorts of different differentials based on who they shared a court with. So you can look at, like, Tatum plus Brown and, you know, Tatum plus Kemba and kind of look at it in that way. But just in general, I mean, if you're missing your top player, things are going to be a little weird. And that was kind of what I took from this game for the most part.
Yeah, it was definitely a little weird. And yeah, I mean, I think you could argue both sides as to whether or not Tatum would have made a difference today. But we saw footage of him recently yelling at the bench mob. I can't remember what game it was. It might have been against the Pacers, where Tatum and Brown had to come back in the game to finish it up. Or it might have been the Wizards. And we did see Tatum with that intensity on the bench yelling at the guys for letting the game slip away. So who knows? Like, maybe he is taking on some of that role of the spark plug, or the, you know, the Marcus Smart rally the troops mentality. And so maybe we're missing a lot more than just his on the court skill set there. Who knows? I mean, that'd actually be a really good thing in terms of him being a well-rounded player. There's a user, just moving on slightly, Joe Istel, who mentioned on Grant Williams, every time I criticize Grant Williams, someone cries out that he does stuff that doesn't show up on the box score after I offer specifics. What are those intangibles? Making fucking homemade candles? Putting logos on robes? His shortcomings show up every game. I've never seen a starter in the NBA with such abysmal stat lines and game impact. He is limited to heavy hitter lineups that cover up his massive weaknesses. So going in strong there on Grant Williams, user Joe Istel. Any response to that, Larbert? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but how do you feel about that take?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's best to put this back to you, because I'm not necessarily the highest on Grant Williams compared to others. But I mean, there was an article this week that someone shared, or maybe it was a blog post, that said that he's very much of the Draymond Green breed of players, and newer, you know, undersized power forwards. That's a little more common. I kind of look at it as this is like a very, very, very small version of the criticisms that Al Horford used to get on the Celtics, where it's like, he's not impacting the stat line, he doesn't help. And it's like, yes, he does. He helps quite a bit. He does a lot of different things on the court that make an impact. And it's like, this gets into a level of depth, I gotta be honest, that, like, I don't necessarily have as a basketball fan, because I know there's some people who watch this game and will comment on like, geez, man, Grant's exactly where he needs to be. And Grant really, you know, he's seeing the game in a different way. I don't necessarily see it like that. And I think a lot of fans are similar to myself. So they just kind of see the surface level stats and kind of gloss over a lot of the things that maybe Grant Williams is doing that's a positive that earns him minutes. What's your take on it, Ben?
My take is that he's highly switchable. And if you are highly switchable and you play for Brad Stevens, there's always going to be a place in the rotation for you. And if you're not switchable, you have to be incredibly good at other aspects of the game, like Kemba Walker, to get significant playing time. So Grant Williams, he can defend almost every position. You know, like he doesn't often get blown by. If he does, his recovery is very good. And he does, yeah, I mean, I understand what this user is saying, because he had a couple of botched possessions today where he didn't quite catch the ball he turned it over or whatever, but that just was consistent with what everybody else on the Celtics was doing anyway. So I understand the need to pin it on somebody, and Grant hasn't been stuffing the stat sheet, so it's probably easy to glance at the box score and pin it on him. But he does fulfill a lot of those intangibles that coaches love. He is an incredible defender, and he had shown in the playoffs last year that he can do that in high-stakes moments. So I think that there's a lot of time and space left for Grant Williams on the Celtics, and hopefully, you know, the more noticeable things like his three-point shooting and his ability to catch and finish and things like that, you know, come through. It's only his second year in the league, so, you know, I don't think that we should have too lofty expectations for him yet, but I think there's some very, very promising signs there. So I'm still all in on Grant Williams.
Yeah, not to keep coming back to it, because again, like I said, take it with a grain of salt, but Grant is one of those guys on a team that does end up having one of those positive plus-minus differentials last season and this season, where for whatever reason, his joining the team on the court seems to be a positive as opposed to when he's off the court. So, you know, there must be stuff there that maybe we're just not seeing totally on a stat sheet that's not readily apparent.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, a couple of points to get to, and then we're going to move on to the Harden trade. User Horseshoe Overlook made a post, which I highly recommend checking out, because it's a lot more in-depth than what I'm going to go into now. The Celtics' loss against the Knicks was the 7th worst shooting game in the last 50 years. Which is insane. I think that's for the Celtics, by the way, but that's still terrible. And fellow Aussies, if you got up at 5 a.m. to watch the 7th worst shooting game in the last 50 years, then I apologize on behalf of the Celtics. Not that I have the right to do so. 2 points on Kemba Walker very quickly. A tweet by Tom Westerholm. Kemba was quoted as saying, "I'm making the moves I normally make, and I don't feel anything, and it's a joy. I'm excited." And then a follow-up quote from Kemba Walker, this time captured by Chris Grenham. "Kemba Walker on Jaylen Brown. He's killing it. I don't want him to think that just because I'm back that he can't keep killing it, because he can." So very excited to see, as we touched on earlier, what that three-man dynamic ends up looking like between Tatum, Brown, and Walker. Anything else you want to add there, Larbert, before we move on to the Harden trade?
Yeah, I just want to shout out real quickly user Mr. Mojo Rising CG. And it's kind of similar to what you were just talking about with Kemba mentioning he's not feeling any pain. I had made a comment in a comment somewhere that I guess the concern that I have and a lot of fans have is, sure, he might not feel any pain right now, but isn't the concern that he's, you know, potentially bone on bone in that knee and that he's going to feel pain later? And so Mr. Mojo Rising CG's comment was, well, the bone-to-bone issue is a lack of collagen in his knee. He was out because he had a stem cell knee injection. The procedure is more complicated than how I'm going to put it, but generally stem cells take the properties of the cells around them and replicate it. So his knee issue, assuming it took well, should be fairly relieved, actually. His problem isn't necessarily soreness, but rather major chronic damage to his knee from overuse. Assuming this procedure worked as planned, he should actually have a genuine recovery. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. I know how to Google certain things, but I'm not a doctor. I don't know if Mr. Mojo Rising is either, but at least it makes me feel a little better. Maybe what he's saying has some validity to it. Maybe, you know, Kemba's stem cells is actually going to help him. Maybe he's going to be back to normal to a certain extent now. I mean, it's hopeful.
Yeah, mods, if you're listening, Leet Speak, you guys should sticky that comment to the top of the subreddit, because a lot of people, I think, need to read that on a daily basis to remind themselves that it's not all over with Kemba Walker. I mean, yeah, that sounds very promising. As a person with terrible knees, I wish that I had access to that kind of treatment. That's my takeaway from that. That's kind of unfair, but I'm glad that Kemba's subject to that level of treatment and quality care. Hopefully it you know, it demonstrates itself on the court. Now, James Harden was traded to the Brooklyn Nets by the Houston Rockets. We know the details. I'll just go over them again very quickly. So this is a tweet from Woj. Brooklyn's acquiring James Harden in a three-way deal with Cleveland, Caris LeVert, Dante Exum, Rodions Kuroks, four first-round picks, including the Cavs 2022 first via the Bucks, and four Nets pick swaps to the Rockets. Jarrett Allen, Torian Prince to the Cavs. It's just an insane blockbuster deal. Stepping out of Celtics fandom, grabbing the popcorn. It was a fun day of just like watching everything that sort of came out of that and how quickly it moved after that James Harden press conference. Laba, take us through it, you know, from your mindset as a Celtics fan, how this felt and how you've come to accept this new reality.
Yeah, so we recorded our podcast, our therapy session that morning because we were, you know, there's some negative stuff going on with the team. We had some games that were canceled. And part of that whole podcast was mainly poking fun at Brooklyn to make ourselves feel better. And then like an hour later, they landed James Harden. So let's get the maybe from our standpoint, the positive stuff. Let's cover that first. So positive stuff is that obviously Kyrie is still a concern for them. You know, he hasn't come back officially into playing games yet. Apparently he's back with the team, but you never know with him. He's a wild card. So that's a positive. We don't. Maybe Kyrie will retire. That'd be nice. The other positive is that James Harden doesn't seem like he's really in 100% shape. The other positive is that potentially those three guys struggle sharing the ball. There's one basketball. You always hear that. There's one basketball. You have three ball dominant players. Barkley's been making jokes about how it's the dribble brothers. I think they're calling them instead of the Splash Brothers. So I mean, yeah, that could be a concern for them and a positive for us. The other positive is, how are they going to look defensively? You know, I just said Orlando has been terrible since they lost Fultz, and Brooklyn just let them put up 112 points on them. They still beat them because they put up 123 points playing pickup basketball, but without Kyrie. But yeah, defense might be a concern for them. So all those things are a concern for them. But all that said, I'm a little terrified. If you look at the history of teams. And I wrote an article on Celtics Life about this, which was essentially saying that there's a history of us downplaying super teams. Anytime a super team is formed, all the fans are quick to say, there's one basketball. How are they going to coexist? They even said it when the big three in Boston formed. They're like, how is Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and KG going to coexist? They're all superstars. They all want the ball. Didn't make a difference. They won a championship the first year. They dominated. They said it when LeBron and Wade paired together. And although they had some hiccups, they still went to the finals 4 years in a row. They said it when LeBron went to the Cavs. They're like, how is he and Kyrie going to coexist? They weren't a good team. You can't just add LeBron. Well, I mean, they went to the finals every year after that. They said it when Durant joined the Warriors. Like, well, you know, that might be a problem for them. Rare. That was rare. Most people realized that they would actually be great. But there were some people who were like, you know, how are you going to add Durant to that? That's going to mess it up. And they won a couple championships. So, I mean, listen, you're adding two MVP players who are in their prime. I mean, the oldest of those guys is Durant. He's only 32. Harden's 31. Kyrie's only 28. They're technically the same age or slightly younger than the Boston Big Three when they formed in 2007. And that team more or less had a five-year window ending in the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, that they had a window. So I look at that. That's a lot of talent. I can't just ignore the fact that they have some fucking great talent. That's incredible talent. You know, whether they have some defense issues out of the gate, hopefully. I'd love to beat them. I hate this, to be honest. I hate it. I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it because it like their window is like, you know, it totally aligns with the contracts of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So the idea that they might be preventing us from even getting to the Eastern Conference Finals for the next 4 years, it sucks. I don't like it. I think they're a very, very unlikable trio. Maybe the most unlikable superstar trio we've ever had. So I'll be rooting very, very much against them and hopeful that we can, you know, embarrass them and beat them in the playoffs. But I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, I'm hopeful and yet unhappy as well. That's how I would summarize my outlook and reaction to this whole situation. Just to lean back into the optimistic side of things very quickly, user Highlighter Ted wrote that no team has ever won a championship without finishing in the top 15 in defensive rating. Nets still have to prove they can defend. I mean, they certainly prove that they can score the other night. But, you know, Kyrie Irving, if he does come back, he's not exactly adding anything to the defensive side of the court. But the thing that annoys me the most is after the original Brooklyn trade, you know, a couple of years go by and Garnett retires and Pierce leaves for the Wizards. And suddenly it's all doom and gloom for Nets fans. Like, we've given away our future. You know, it's going to be a very, very long time until we're competing or contending again. And meanwhile, the Celtics have these picks. They're going to have their, you know, the pick of the bunch over the next few years. Celtics eventually get Tatum and Brown. They trade the other Brooklyn pick as part of the deal that brings in Kyrie Irving. And our future is looking really good. And yet, we're on the same timeline. So NBA teams, the Nets and the Celtics, experience time in the same way. You can make an argument that we've got Time Lord slightly different for us. Anyway, jokes aside, it's now 2021. The same amount of time has passed with both teams. We have Tatum and Brown, so yes, those picks were fruitful for us, and yet they've got like 2.5 MVPs, you know? So yep. All the while, they mortgage their future, but they end up with arguably a much better roster and much more promising title prospects. In the end, that's the part that annoys me the most. They made this like fucking awful decision, and right. yet they've come out on top in the end. That really shits me. I can't sleep at night.
I get it. I get it, because I mean, it's almost like we can't, you know, we could for a long time, we could call that Brooklyn trade, and we probably can still call that Brooklyn trade one of the greatest trades of all time. The fact that Ainge pulled that off. I mean, let's also mention that at that point, I was shocked that we even got late first round picks for KG and Pierce at that point. I thought we were 2 years a little late for even trying to make that trade, mm-hmm. because I really believe they were washed up at that point. So to get even late first was a huge win, and it ends up being Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving was part of that at one point, because we got Isaiah that turned into Kyrie through that whole trade. So it's almost like we can't even bring it up anymore. It's like, how are you going to bring up that's one of the greatest trades of all time if they ended up getting Kyrie anyways, and then they ended up luring these other guys because they had Kyrie there? So yeah, I get it from that. I also just think, like, you know, there's some fans who are really down on the league for a variety of reasons. And one of the reasons they're down on the league is the player empowerment era, which I'm not necessarily against, but I get it from a fan standpoint, because these players are able to now completely dictate where they go.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just saw it with Los Angeles, and I was pretty vocal about this when it happened. I almost like, listen, the Lakers, they've got a bunch of championships, some of them as Minneapolis, but I almost don't see their championships on the same level as most teams, because LA is such a huge draw. If you look at like the championships they won, they've all come from landing other team superstars who just wanted to live in LA. It happened with Kareem, happened with Shaq, happened LeBron James. That's a whole lot of fucking championships. Wilt Chamberlain as well. That's a lot of championships that all came from other superstars, MVP player, you know, MVP level players who just wanted to live in LA. And it's a similar thing with New York, Brooklyn, same kind of thing. It's not the Knicks, but it's still, New York is a draw there. It's a huge city. People want to live there. Kyrie obviously wanted to go there. Durant's base is there in New York. They wanted to be there. So it kind of sucks. I mean, listen, we can't really complain. Boston is not a small market team, but it still kind of sucks to see these guys kind of getting their way and forming these teams. And they're, like I said, I think they're three of the most unlikable superstars in the league at this point. So them, you know, winning championships, kind of the idea of it really makes me sad.
Yeah. It makes me very unhappy and bitter and angry. And I feel like it's stressing me out and aging me prematurely. Yeah. I'm constantly upset about it, but like you said, they are the most unlikable trio potentially ever. And that does, you know, while it's intimidating to have them all grouped up and in our conference and division, it does open up the possibility for us to beat them and for that very satisfying outcome to come to fruition. So
if there's anything right in the world, the basketball gods will smite them. And,
right.
And like, listen, everyone's going to be rooting against this team in the playoffs. And so the idea of us beating them, that would be really nice. That'd be nice. But I'm really terrified of how good they can be over the next few years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm absolutely terrified as well. But, you know, that is a possibility and something that we can hope for, if nothing else, given that everything else is pretty, pretty gloomy and shitty at the moment. Let's be honest. All right, so quickly for the Reddit recap, this is a post by LightningFast31, who writes, "Can we stop posting about Kyrie? He's not part of the Celtics. We've just talked about Kyrie Irving on this podcast, on the Celtics Reddit podcast, for a decent amount of time. So essentially, should we or should we not continue posting about Kyrie Irving? User Hawk Egg writes, let us have our schadenfreude. I lean on that side, like, it's especially when it's bad things about Kyrie Irving. I like seeing that. It makes me feel good. I'm just going to be honest. LaBird, where do you stand on this?
Well, first of all, shout out to Hawk Egg. That guy has a library of quotes that he's kept of mine that he says proves I hate Jaylen Brown. And I've gone back and forth with this guy. He won't let me, you know, listen, I've said some things in the past that maybe it seems like I didn't support Jaylen to the extent that I should have. So,
oh, Hawk Egg, all been there. We've all been
thanks for
there.
Keeping
don't
me honest, Hawk
it.
Egg. He's keeping me honest. But,
that's great.
So I've been writing some articles for Celtics Life, and some of our listeners are probably coming from Celtics Life. I just have to, you know, pull the curtain back a little bit and say that I posted one thing about Kyrie there, and it got about six times as many views as every other article I've written.
Of course.
Obviously, Celtics fans are interested in Kyrie Irving still. And I would say that until we get an opportunity to go to the Boston Garden and pack that house post-COVID and boo the shit out of that guy, hopefully in the playoffs when we beat them, then I think we can keep talking about Kyrie, because fuck him. I hate him. He's like, you know, honestly, I've been a Kyrie apologist in the past, but at this point, I just can't stand this guy. Like, I can't stand his whole persona. And I think we deserve to be able to go to the Garden and boo the crap out of him. So as long as there's negative things about him popping up, I think we should be allowed to talk about it. I see nothing wrong with it.
It's the closure that every fan needs, right? We need that cleansing boo fest at TD Garden with Kyrie Irving there. And, like, we know he feels it, right? Like, he burned sage around an empty TD Garden for bad juju. If it was full of fans, there's not enough sage in the world to remove that bad juju. So,
you know, the more we try to sweep this under the rug, the more he'll just be able to come back and it'll be like any other game. And I want this heat to remain, because he should be, like we just said, I think Brooklyn's one of the least likable trios of all time. But in particular, Boston's reaction to Kyrie should be very, very, very negative. I mean, the guy did tell us that he was probably going to come back and then left and formed a super team with Durant and Harden. I think we deserve to be able to boo the crap out of him. So I think,
fuck that guy.
You know, if we don't talk about him, then maybe enough time will pass that by the time we actually see him, everyone will, water under a bridge. No, it shouldn't be water under a bridge. Let's keep talking about him. Let's keep making fun of him. And then finally, you know, we'll get the boom eventually, hopefully.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And yeah, so shout out to Hawk Egg. I agree with the schadenfreude, but user Lord Exor agrees with OP. They write, I agree. I think this is on the mods to delete Kyrie threads. If the mods start removing non-Celtics related threads, this would stop organically. If people want to talk about Kyrie, they can go to the Brooklyn or NBA subreddits. Interesting. Pretty divisive subject. And you do get a lot of those comments anytime someone like that is posted. You know, I guess it comes down to like how you deal with breakups, right? And sometimes even after a bad breakup, people are pretty disciplined and like, well, I'm never going to talk or think about that person ever again. And so I think that's kind of where Lord Exor is coming from. It's just like healthy to move on completely and just like put those emotions in a box, put them up in the attic, like where I'm sitting right now recording this podcast, and just move on. But
listen,
you know,
I don't know how your breakups went, but with mine, I feel like it's totally okay to obsess over them until you get a chance to boo them with a bunch of other fans.
That's right. Yeah, as is tradition. Of course. Yeah. So look, it all comes down to what's therapeutic and what gives you closure and what allows you to exercise those demons. But look, Labo, we're pretty close to wrapping this one up. Kemba Walker returned today. We got smashed by the Knicks. We've reacted to the Harden trade, and we've talked about the eligibility for Kyrie content on Celtics Reddit. Is there anything that you want to add before we wrap this one up?
I think that's about everything. I would say that one thing I'm keeping an eye on, and I think a lot of fans are keeping an eye on, is Peyton Pritchard. And tonight, he had less minutes than he's had as of recent, because we have both Kemba back and also Teague. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on, because I didn't get a chance to mention this. Again, talking about the plus minus thing, it's been kind of a theme of the whole thing, but Pritchard's plus minus has been very, very good. He's actually been impacting winning quite a bit. And it happened again tonight, where we got blown out, and the one that had the least negative plus minus was Pritchard.
Yeah.
So I kind of, that's something I'm keeping an eye on. Want to see him get a lot of minutes. as we, you know, get a little further into the season, if he's losing minutes because of Teague, I feel like that's going to get more and more attention from fans. They're going to start getting a little bit annoyed at that. And that's not even to say Teague's played poorly, but I think that's going to be something that's going to be on the mind of a lot of people.
Yeah, I also thought Pritchard saw some more legit NBA defense and blitzes today that he hadn't seen before. It was kind of like a tip of the hat, right, from the opposition to Pritchard, just to say, okay, like, we know you're legit while you're the only guard on the floor, while you're the primary ball handler. Like, we're going to blitz you as soon as you come over halfway there. So I thought that was, almost a compliment towards him. And it did kind of ruffle his feathers a little bit. Like, he didn't have the sort of performance that we're used to seeing from him, but he also didn't completely shit the bed. So I think that's
he only took three shots, right? So, I mean, he took three shots in that game, in a game where Smart had 15.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, Kemba and Smart combined for 2 for 28. Or sorry, 7 for 28, while Pritchard only took three shots. So that's something I'll be keeping an eye on. Yep.
Yeah, it felt like 2 for 28. All right, that's going to do it for this one. We'll be back in a week or so. Celtics have the Sixers coming up on Wednesday. That will be 12 days since Jason Tatum's positive COVID test. La Bird, is there any word, as far as you are aware, as to whether Tatum will be available to play against Philly?
I haven't seen much about it. I'm hopeful. That'd be great. Because otherwise, I think Philly's going to be a tough beat. But I guess they're dealing with some COVID issues as well. So who knows? Maybe we'll have a couple COVID games.
Yeah, apparently
they'll be limited.
Apparently, Ben Simmons was told that he was about to be traded as well. So who knows what kind of ripples that creates in the locker room there. It should be interesting.
Right.
More on that next week. In the meantime, thank you for tuning in. Go Celtics. Peace.